In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A verse from our second reading this morning from the Epistle to the Galatians. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. Today, Mother's Day, or better, Mothering Sunday, is a curious conflation of the secular and the sacred. Thanks to the exertions of card manufacturers, florists, and confectioners, it has become a sacrifice offered to motherhood, an annual festival when sales of potted hyacinths and boxed chocolates rocket, and fathers offer voluntarily to do the washing up. Yet this cozy domestication of Mothering Sunday is a comparatively modern phenomenon. There is little evidence for it before the 17th century, when young people in service were allowed to return to their homes, taking with them a large cake as a gift to their mothers, the traditional simnel cake. It seems that there was also a custom of attending one's parish church on this mid-Lent Sunday, and this probably takes us back to the true origins of Mothering Sunday. It was the occasion for acknowledging and honouring Mother Church, the Jerusalem above, which is free and who is mother of us all, as the epistle at Holy Communion that day described her. Just as the gospel for the day, the feeding of the 5,000, gave rise to the designation Refreshment Sunday, so the epistle inspired the alternative title of Mothering Sunday. There is a long tradition of describing the church as the mother of Christians. It's to be found in some of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, and had become, as it were, such a commonplace by the 3rd century that Cyprian of Carthage could make what now seems the extraordinary claim that only he who had the church as his mother could have God as his father. Another line of thought turned on the passage in St. John's Gospel in which the dying Jesus commends his mother to the care of the beloved disciple with the words, "Behold your mother." The disciple is seen as representative of the church, ergo, Mary is the mother of the church. She is its prototype, and the church must reflect Mary's maternal qualities. So Augustine of Hippo could write that the church, imitating Jesus' mother, daily gives birth to his members. Well, I'm not sure what today we make of this, but to try to make some sense of the notion of Mother Church, we need to look briefly at three New Testament texts. First, our main text from the Epistle to the Galatians, "But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother." The reference to Jerusalem reminds us of the Old Testament background. Kingdoms of Judah and Israel were occasionally referred to as mothers of their people. It also reminds us of the heavenly Jerusalem, the kingdom of God in all its final perfection, the commonwealth of which Christ's followers are citizens. It is, in fact, our home, a place of security, love, and forgiveness, and therefore a place not unlike the best kind of earthly home. Who is at the heart of an earthly home? Who but a mother? So the heavenly Jerusalem is our mother. Church on earth is but a pale shadow of this heavenly commonwealth. Yet through its ministry and fellowship, we experience something of the security, love, and forgiveness which are promised us above, and so the church too is indeed our mother. Secondly, a verse from the first epistle of Peter. like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. The epistle is thought to have been in part a baptismal treatise or address. The writer is therefore speaking to those who are new to the faith, and whom he describes as babes who need their mother's milk if they are to grow strong and healthy. What he must have had in mind was the whole process of Christian formation, by which we come to discover the riches of the faith, to recognize God's grace in our lives, and acquire the courage to bear witness. That formation takes place within the Christian family, the church. There we are taught the Holy Scriptures. There we receive the sacraments. There we learn to pray. There we are encouraged to care for others. We are fed with the milk that leads to eternal life by our loving mother, the Church, and receive our nourishment from her. Thirdly, some words of Jesus in which he laments over his rejection by Jerusalem and declares, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not." The image of the mother hen consoling, warming, and protecting her brood of chicks is one of compassion, love, and self-giving. In comparing his love for God's people to maternal love, Jesus indicates the nature of the care which should characterize the church. Despite deplorable failures, the church has sometimes risen to the challenge. She has cared for the marginalized, the poor, and the disturbed. She has provided a haven for the troubled and the grief-stricken. She has listened and she has reassured. She has spoken of a redeeming God who loves all his people and will turn none away. She has been a true mother to her children. Not Mother's Day, then, but Mothering Sunday, the day when we give thanks to God for the Church, the Mother of Christians, and pray that she will continue to nourish, guard, and guide us until we attain the heavenly Jerusalem, the commonwealth of all the faithful. Amen. Let us pray. We pray first that we may know ourselves to be called to be citizens of that heavenly Jerusalem, our true mother, and that we may in all things aspire to show our citizenship. Grant us, O Lord, to rejoice in beholding the bliss of the heavenly Jerusalem, that as she is the home and mother of the multitude of the saints, we also may be counted worthy to have our portion within her, through thine only begotten Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray for the human family, for the peoples of the earth, remembering especially all those who suffer at this time through violence and conflict, praying for children and mothers caught up in the wars of the Middle East, all those who are victims of terrorism, and those who have fled from their homes. And we pray for an international effort to bring about reconciliation, peace, and stability. O God, who makest men to be of one mind in an house, and has called us into the fellowship of thy dear Son, draw into closer unity, we beseech thee, the people of all races in this and every land, that in fellowship with thee they may understand and help one another, and that serving thee they may find their perfect freedom, through the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We gather our prayers together as we say the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.